Lake Effect now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. When you think back on your childhood, what did dinner time look like?
Many of us might think back on meals eaten around the kitchen or dining room tables in idyllic terms. Good food, conversation, and togetherness. While the reality might have been a little more nuanced, there was a time when the family meal was a pretty typical shared experience in America.
But for many families, even just married couples, the experience of sitting down together over an uninterrupted meal is increasingly rare. Couples work different shifts, kids have nighttime activities, and even the most well-meaning among us are sometimes interrupted at mealtime by an urgent email or text message.
The editors of Taste of Home magazine would like you to reconsider the importance of the family meal in 2017. The Milwaukee-based company's new cookbook, 100 Family Meals, is subtitled Bringing the Family Back to the Dinner Table.
Editor Mark Hagan is with us in the studio. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So many of us, when it comes to New Year's resolutions and food, often those resolutions involve less food. But I gather one of the ideas behind this is if you're thinking about changing something to do with food in the coming year, it actually involves making more of it, and making being the key word.
You're absolutely right. At Taste of Home, we thought, why not make a new type of resolution? And that's a resolution to your family. So this year, make a resolution to have sit-down dinners with your family at least 100 times this year. Now, that sounds like a lot, but that really only averages out to about 2 times per week.
Well, and so let's talk about the significance of the family dinner, because, you know, people might think, okay, well, you know, I stick the chicken nuggets in the oven and we sit down and we eat and we get up and go about our business. What's wrong with that paradigm?
Nothing really. I mean, the idea is that you're sitting down with your family and eating. So the meal itself isn't necessarily the main problem or objective. What you want to do is sit down together, talk about your day, open up communications, make memories, things like that. So the meal isn't as important. However, like you said, all too often, because we're so busy, kids are busier these days. We have families where the parents perhaps live in different homes. So we do get stuck in that chicken nugget routine. Whereas this new book, 100 Family Meals, does offer a lot of easy, quick ideas for today's families.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about, you kind of lay out in the beginning of this book some ground rules for what a family dinner should feel like. What should be there? What shouldn't be there? Talk a little bit about what the ground rules you see are good for these kinds of family meals.
Setting ground rules is a great idea. This book does offer, there's a little sidebar with some ideas. I think there's 3 great ideas to stick with. The first is no cell phones, no notepads, no devices at the table. Really use this time to concentrate on your family. The second idea is to avoid any very stressful subjects. So if there's a problem with the kids not fixing their bed in the morning, maybe this isn't the time to bring that up. You want to have a nice, welcoming environment. And the third idea is wait until everybody's at the table to start eating. This way nobody misses anything, and it makes that family dinner more of an event.
What do you think we've lost from not doing this more often? What's at stake here?
I think what we found, and various studies have proven this, and we talk about these in the book a little bit, is that children who eat regularly together with their families, there's more of a sense of commitment. There's more of a sense of responsibility. They know they're going to have to answer to their parents for their actions. And there's also more memories to be made. So I think that when we don't have these family meals, kids tend to feel like they can get away with more. And the studies actually indicate that they realize they can't get away with quite as much when they know they have to sit down with mom and dad at dinner time.
Do you think that should the rest of the family, besides the whoever does most of the cooking at home, should more people be involved in the front end of this, the making of the food too?
If you get the whole family involved in cooking the meal, it's much easier to hit your mark of 2 family meals per week. But bringing the kids into the kitchen actually does more than that. It really is a great opportunity to teach them about nutrition, to teach them life skills about cooking, and it really actually gets them excited to sit down as a family and enjoy a meal together. It also gets your kids interested in eating different foods. So if you have a picky eater, take him or her shopping and let them pick out a new piece of produce. They'll be more excited to try that. Same thing, if they're helping you create the meal in the kitchen, they're more excited to sit down and enjoy that meal together.
So that said, the 100 meals in this book kind of cover a wide variety of, you know, they come from different backgrounds. What holds them all together?
Well, a couple of things. All of the recipes that you'll find in 100 Family Meals were shared by real families. So these recipes come from today's home cooks. This is what they're serving in their households. So I think that's one thing that brings them all together. The other thing that I like about this is that they're all easy, they're simple. I actually chose these recipes myself with the idea that you can make them on a busy weeknight. There's 183 recipes total. That counts as side dishes and desserts and whatnot. And I think something like 85 of them are ready in 30 minutes or less.
You wouldn't anticipate that most people would start at page one and work their way through it over the course of the year.
You can flip through that book. The entrees, the 100 entrees, are divided up by chicken, beef, pork, etc. Every single entree comes with a goes great with tip. So if you're looking at a pork chop, for instance, you'll see a little box that says, hey, here's an idea for a quick side dish. Sometimes those are recipes within the book, and sometimes they're just pick this up on the way home at the grocery store.
And you said you picked, you personally picked all the recipes that make up this book. What makes a good recipe for you? I mean, they're submitted by real live people out there. Do you look at these and say, oh my God, how could that possibly work?
All of our recipes, they come in from home cooks across the country, and then they're tested in the Taste of Home Test Kitchen. To make sure that they work, to make sure that they look nice, that they taste good. We have a wonderful tasting panel. So that's really, to me, what makes a great recipe is that it tastes good. When I chose these, I was really thinking of families. So all the recipes you're going to see in here have family appeal. Some are maybe geared towards families with smaller children. Some are geared towards families with teens or preteens. But overall, they really have a strong family appeal.
You also, for some of the meals, you actually kind of create grocery lists for people to, I mean, it really takes a lot of the guesswork out of it.
That's right. At the end of every chapter, you'll find several grocery lists. It's actually, you'll find menus for three-item meals. And then each of those is in a clip and keep grocery list. So you can actually take that to the grocery store, and there you have your whole meal right there.
So, yeah, for example, we're in the seafood and meatless section. One of the meals is lemon parsley baked cod as the entree, tortellini primavera soup as the side, and toffee pecan bars. And right next to it is the grocery list.
Yes,
for that.
Easy, easy, easy.
The other thing that jumped out at me, actually, is, you know, you were talking about the need to kind of leave those stressful conversations behind, and so then you might ask, what will replace those stressful conversations? You have even taken the guesswork about out of what to talk about.
This is one of my favorite things about this cookbook, and actually this makes this cookbook different than anything else you'll find on the market. Throughout the book, you'll find conversation starters. So if you're sitting at the dinner table and you want to start a conversation, look up one of the conversation starters. For example, who was your favorite cartoon character? That's a great conversation for all ages to share around the table. We might talk about what's your favorite side dish at Thanksgiving. Doesn't matter if it's July and you're having this conversation. Everyone has a favorite side dish at Thanksgiving. So you'll find all these conversation starters throughout the book, and it'll really help you enjoy that time at the dinner table.
The conversation starter that, and I can't find it right now, I was just trying to page through it, but that jumped out at me is, if you could start a radio show, who would you have on it? And I thought it would start with the person that edited this book.
Oh, well, thank you. That is a great answer.
So what are, again, you chose the recipes here. What are some of the ones that sort of surprised you that you included in this book that, you know, if someone were to pick it up off the shelf, might surprise them?
Right now, actually, when I chose the recipes, I found one called muffin tin lasagnas. And they're little mini lasagnas that are made in a muffin tin. And back when I chose these recipes, cooking in muffin tins wasn't as hot as it is right now, because that is a big thing right now. Kids love it. People in general just like mini individual servings. So I think the muffin tin lasagnas are one that really stand out to me.
And by honest to God coincidence, I will share that was the recipe that jumped out in the Tyke household. That was a recipe when the book arrived, we made that one first.
Awesome. And how was it?
It came out I could show you a picture of it, except that I do not have my phone in here because I'm treating this like a family meal.
And that's what I love about the Taste of Home books in general, is that they are all tested. So you know they are going to turn out. And the method is fairly simple. Anybody can put these together.
Now, I guess I hadn't realized that muffin cooking in muffin tins is as hot as it is.
It is. It is a hot trend. I think it goes back to just the smaller individual portions. I think that kids like it. And very, very often, not every time, but very often, things that cook in muffin tins freeze well. So you can pop those little lasagnas out of the muffin tin, for example, and freeze them individually for future meals.
What about technique? Because that's, I think, another thing that might keep some people out of the kitchen. How accessible is the technique required to make these dishes?
You're absolutely right. That is one of the things that people struggle with when they're trying to cook sit-down meals for their families. Technique is important. And when these recipes were chosen for the book, that was really part of the selection process, that anybody could put these together. So you're going to find 30-minute meals in here. You're going to find slow cooker dishes. I mean, slow cookers are really a perfect tool for today's family cooks. When they want something, they don't have a lot of time, a little bit of planning, you can get that slow cooker going and come home to a great meal.
They are kind of a minor miracle in that way.
People, and they're hot right now. They're hot, hot, hot. In fact, in the book, we mark the slow cook dishes with a little icon so you can find them easily as you're paging through it. Things that freeze well, too. You know, we give you some freezer options. So those are little tricks that you can follow if you want to serve more sit-down family meals.
What about prepping early on, doing things like getting the ingredients ready early in the week?
You sure can. I think one of the great things about Taste of Home is that we use items that people probably already have in their kitchens or in their pantries. So the prep should be pretty simple, but our prep and cook times are listed with every single recipe.
As are nutrition facts, which struck me as, you know, for people who are especially looking for fiber or counting their calories or carbs or whatever.
Every single recipe in this book does have a complete set of nutrition facts. You are correct. When people started cooking more at home, they were looking for special dietary needs. But I think that nowadays, we have all these young moms out there, and even if they're not following a certain diet, they just want to know if they're serving their family healthy foods. So we included a complete set of nutrition facts throughout the book so that you always know what you're cooking up at home.
So after we get through making these 100 meals, is there a sequel to come?
I hope so. I really hope that this becomes a huge effort across the country to sit down with your family and prepare at least 100 family meals. We're asking everybody to take pictures of their family meals. Tell us about what recipes you make and use the hashtag 100 family meals to do so. So you can see what other family cooks are sharing and maybe share some recipes, share some conversation starters that you enjoyed or that you created yourself. So hashtag 100 family meals is really a great idea, I think, and it might just start something across the country.
Well, Mark Hagen, thank you so much for starting the conversation in here, and hope we'll see you again.
Thank you very, very much.
Mark Hagen is managing editor of print and digital books at Milwaukee-based Taste of Home. He's also editor of the new book 100 Family Meals, Bringing the Family Back to the Dinner Table. You'll find a link to more about it from WUWM.com.